Hello friends, hello folks, welcome. It's another exciting episode of the Climate Talk podcast. This happens to be a very special episode and you'll find out why in a bit. I can open your eyes. If you're listening for the first time, I'm wondering, where on this green planet have you been? But not to worry, welcome and feel free to be a part of the family. Just look for the subscribe button on your device, or you could head to www.climatetalkpodcast.com and you can subscribe and become a family of thousands of young people who listen to the Climate Talk podcast every month. Be sure that you'll be right about the first person to be aware when we drop new episodes or when we have special information from our desk. My name is Seifumi Adebote. Permit me to be your green guide on this ride. Probably you're wondering, what exactly is the Climate Talk podcast? Well, we understand that many young people have questions about what is climate change. Does it really matter? Should I be bothered? Where will the money to address all the big climate issues come from? We see these conversations on the social media, we hear them at conferences, and we understand that young people really want to take action. So for us at the Climate Talk podcast, it is very important that we have fact-based conversations with experts, policymakers, politicians, innovators, and other stakeholders, just so that it can help you, the listener, to understand clearly how climate change affects you and also to guide you as to the proper actions you can take in making sure you play your part towards addressing climate change. Like I'll always say, no action is too small. Welcome again to this episode of the Climate Talk podcast. So I mentioned earlier that this is a very special episode, and you may be wondering, why exactly? Well, if you've been listening before now, you'll understand that we drop new episodes of the podcast every last Wednesday of the month. But guys, it's not Wednesday, it's not even the last week of the month, and we have a podcast out, right? That makes it special. But even more, my guest on this episode happens to be the first female guest on the podcast, huh? And unlike other episodes of the podcast where we're so serious on talking about climate change, climate action, climate finance, this time we talk about climate change, yes, but we also delve to discuss about her personal life, career growth, and she also reveals her plans to have more young people sit at the table with world leaders. So who is my guest on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast? You probably know by now, Sri Lankan politician who was at the age of 23 appointed a senator for the Sri Lankan Youth Parliament, where she served 2 years. She's also been the official youth delegate to the United Nations and the lead negotiator for the International Youth Task Force. And it's very likely you've heard about the hashtag generation. If you've not, please put it up on Google and find out. My guest is the brain behind the hashtag generation. Personally, I hold her in very high regards, and I understand that she is a role model to millions of young people out there. Safe to say you figured it out by now, I have the number one youth on the planet as my guest on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast. It's time to spare. Let me share this whole new world with you. Her name is Jayathma Wickremanayake. Oh goodness, I invested so much time to perfect the pronunciation of her surname. Jayathma in June 2017 was appointed as the United Nations Secretary General's Envoy on Youth at the age of 26. She's occupied this position for over 2 years and she's done amazing stuff. These are some of the conversations we had when I met with Jayathma at the United Arab Emirates during the recent Abu Dhabi climate meeting, which is a build-up to the September event that will be happening in New York. We had this conversation somewhere at the Emirates Palace, and it was a great, great conversation. Well, you can tell I am super excited. You would not know what it feels like to have Jayathma on your podcast until you eventually have her, okay? Especially, I want to thank Esther Agbarakwe, who made this possible. I also want to thank Olumide Idowu of the International Climate Change Development Initiative, as well as Jimo Oluwatobi-Segun. Every now and then, we work together to make sure you get new episodes, exciting, entertaining, and of course, educating. Like a shooting star, I've come so far, I can't go back to where I Oh my, I'm not here to bore you, but on the occasion of this year's International Youth Day, I present to you this episode of the Climate Talk podcast with Jayathma Wickremanayake.
Yes, my name is Jayathma Wickremanayake and I'm the UN Secretary General of Samoan Youth.
So my first question is this: you inspire a lot of young people, and many of these people do not know how to start that journey to where you are today. What map will you give them?
I think the best way to have a good journey is not to plan a journey. Because I certainly didn't plan to be a youth envoy. I just always did what I was passionate about and always tried to create an impact in my community. So I get this question a lot of times, and really the beginning of my activism was when I was 13 years old.
I was
born in a country which was going through a war. Sri Lanka was going through a war for like 30 years. And I was really frustrated about the fact that, you know, we won't be able to live in peace. Why aren't our leaders doing enough to make sure that, you know, citizens of my country can live in peace? So the first thing I did was write a poem to a newspaper when I was 13 years old. And then I kept writing. And then when I joined university, I joined student organizations. I joined student clubs. I joined the National Youth Council. I applied for different programs done by the Ministry of Youth and Youth Affairs. And that's how, you know, step by step the journey began. And then in 2015, late 2014, together with a group of friends, I started my own youth organization. It's called Hashtag Generation. It was about mobilizing young people to go out and vote for candidates who have strong values and principles, who are transparent, who are accountable. It started as a political movement, and now my colleagues back in Sri Lanka continue to work on that even though I'm away.
Great. And I think that's something that exemplifies a good leader, the fact that when you start something, you begin to mentor other people who can take on the job even mm-hmm. long after you've mm-hmm. gone. That's great. So my next question is this. The UN is a system, world recognized and respected. And there is a structure in it. Mm-hmm. And then outside of the UN, other governments at national levels also have their system, political systems. But in these conversations about the need to take climate action, it seems political structure may not be able to solve this challenge. There seems to be a need or a call for us to do some civil disobedience, civil unrest. Mm. And you see young people with their energy. Mm. How do you balance this? Do you think that's the way to go?
I don't think that's the way to go, but unfortunately, that is the only way we have to go about it, right? And I sometimes look back at, you know, how big changes or transformational changes happened in our world. How did women get to vote? How did slavery end in the United States? How did colonialism end, for an example, in countries like mine? It was through struggles. It was through citizens coming to the streets, occupying the streets, protesting, resisting, demanding, and really making sure that we claim the power and we say power to the people. And I don't think that has to be the way to do it. I think if we elect the right leaders who can take informed strategic decisions on behalf of us, we shouldn't have to go into the streets and demand for change. But unfortunately, there is a huge gap between our leaders and those who are being led. So right now, young people are not waiting until we see that systemic structural change. Absolutely. Because in an issue like climate change, it's about survival, right? You cannot wait for 50 years for a system to be mm-hmm. changed. You might as well not have a planet. So these are the issues, I think, that cannot wait, and therefore making a lot of young people frustrated, and therefore they are occupying the streets and trying to hold their governments accountable as much as they can. But certainly, I think if we had better representation in our political systems, if we had, say, more women, more grassroots leaders, more young people making decisions about our future, we would have had a different political reality.
Awesome. Now, you've been the youth envoy for a while. You've recorded lots of successes. You still have some more years ahead to go. So I want to ask you, what has been your greatest success so far? And what is that success? What else are you looking forward to that would be like, wow, I'm fulfilled as the UN Youth Envoy.
Yes. So in 2 weeks, actually, I complete 2 years at the UN. It's been an incredible journey. It has been a lot of learning, a lot of adapting, because you know, you come from a youth organization background and you are in this huge bureaucracy, and at the same time you have to be diplomatic, and at the same time you have to drive change, and really figuring out, you know, how does power work in a system like this, how can you influence things, and how can you really claim the space that you need. So a lot of it has been learning, but I've got massive support from the Secretary General and the Deputy Secretary General, and a lot of space to do my work. So one of the biggest achievements was launching the UN Youth Strategy. This is the first strategy that the UN has ever had when it comes to working with young people. So now we have a unified vision as the different UN agencies, funds, programs, offices, country offices, global offices, to say that these are the five priorities for us when it's working with young people, and these are the four foundations that we are going to apply as principals when we engage with young people. So getting the entire system, close to 50 different UN agencies and funds and programs and offices together, and really coming up with a unified vision, was a very difficult task to do, but one I think will set the standards for years to come, that for the UN to be more coherent in the way that we work, particularly at the country level.
Great.
So looking forward,
the second part of the question,
exactly.
Yeah.
And if the thing that that would warm me, or that would completely satisfy me, is first to have a dedicated seat at the table for young people, because a lot of the times now it really depends on what modality we are using or what thematic topic we are talking about. For an example, at the HLPF, the Major Group for Children and Youth has a seat. Now at the Climate Summit, we are trying to create a seat for young people at the summit itself. And so it's very ad hoc, you know, it's not a given. It's not like youth are going to be represented in these decisions. So if we can have a permanent seat at the table, at every decision-making table for the youth constituency, that would be one of the biggest achievements, to make sure that our voices, our representation, our concerns are heard in making decisions. But that is more at a global level, and what we know is that the decisions that are being made at the global level do not necessarily translate into action at the local level.
Good.
So our UN country teams, imagine we have 131 country offices around the world. If every country office can have a youth advisory panel, a youth fund, a youth program dedicated to young people within the countries that we operate, I think that's going to be my biggest achievement, because that is where we can really, really impact the lives of young people and really empower those who are the most marginalized and vulnerable. So that's the aim, that's the plan.
And I'm wishing and hoping that by the time you round off your tenure, we'll be able to see this, and for the many decades to come, would always refer to you and say it was when she was there that this was done. So when you're not attending conferences or doing all of the diplomatic duties, what do you do?
I sleep. That's when I get some sleep. No, I used to have hobbies.
Oh.
But this job has been really very demanding, and I really haven't had an opportunity to keep up with my extracurricular activities. But the only activity that I continue to do is reading. I like to read a lot. I like psychological thriller. I like philosophical fiction. So I read whenever I can.
Okay. So your previous hobby before now, I'm just curious, what were they?
The hobbies?
Yeah.
I used to go dancing every Sunday. I used to cycle, a lot of physical activity, but now with this job, I really haven't had any time, or I cannot. For an example, this Saturday I'm in Abu Dhabi, next Saturday I will be in Palestine, and the next Saturday I will be in Latin America. So it's very difficult to have time for myself.
Absolutely.
Or to have a planned schedule because of the nature of the job. But reading is something I can do if I'm on a plane, or doesn't matter which part of the world I am in, or if I'm in a hotel, or if I'm in a hostel, or if I'm in a house. So that's the only thing that survived.
Definitely. So this will be my last question. Just imagine every young person on the planet is listening to you. What will be your message to them in very simple, clear terms?
Don't wait for an invitation. Nothing will be handed over to us because we are young people. or nothing will be handed over to us in a golden platter. You know, no one is going to ask, how do you feel about, unless of course they are very proactive leaders, what do young people feel about this? What is young people's opinion? We have to unfortunately always claim our space. We have to always go and elbow out and create space for us to be heard, for people who comes behind us to follow our footsteps. And if we wait sitting in a room thinking someone will ask me what I feel about, we're never going to have that opportunity. We really, really have to be demanding and be unapologetic about it. So my message is, don't wait for an invitation. If you feel something about any topic, just feel free to do anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be protesting. It doesn't necessarily have to be giving a speech. It could be writing a poem. It could be, you know, I don't know, using arts, culture, drawing, some way of expressing yourself.
Thank you so much for your time. A new fantastic point of view. These words by my guest today, Jayatma, keeps banging in my head. You do not have to wait for an invitation to make a difference. Go out there and make that difference. And that's my message to you on this occasion of the International Youth Day. Do not wait for an invitation. Go out there and make a difference. Soaring, tumbling, freewheeling through an endless time. Well, that's the size of the package on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast. It's been a very interesting episode. Thank you so much, Jay, for coming on the show. Thank you again, Esther Agbarakwe. Thank you, Olumide Idowu and Jimo Oluwatobisegun. Great team members on the Climate Talk podcast. Of course, you should watch out for the next episode of the Climate Talk podcast. It drops on the last Wednesday of this month. Is there something you think I should know? Is there something you would like to share with the team? Feel free to write me. My email is shei@climatetalkpodcast.com. Shei is spelled S-E-Y-I. So you have SEYI@climatetalkpodcast.com. I'm very happy to hear from you, to know about what you do. Actions you're taking to address climate change in your local environment, feel free to share with me, and I'm happy to feature all of this on subsequent episodes of the Climate Talk podcast. Please be kind to share this episode of the Climate Talk podcast with your friends and family, people in your network. It's on virtually every platform you can find a podcast, from iTunes to Google Podcasts to Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, Castbox, iHeartRadio. Everywhere you can find a podcast, you will find the Climate Talk podcast there. And be sure to subscribe so you can get subsequent episodes as soon as we make them public, okay? Thank you so much for listening. I have to go, but of course, I'll make a return on another episode of the Climate Talk podcast. Sheifumi Adebote, that's my name. Let's do this again sometime soon.